Now, I think without further ado, we have a special announcement because the Orphanage is out at Classic BMW today with Davey Lane, but without Danny Bayless. And in his place, I believe...
Are we on the air now?
Yes. Yeah. It would be Gordon Keith.
You know, it's a shame. We should have, they should have announced this yesterday.
They did.
They did?
I think he did.
Did you announce you were going to be on, Gordon?
I think I did mention it, didn't I?
And this may be the highest-rated Saturday in 5 years on the ticket.
I doubt it. Should I tweet that I'm on here?
Yeah, I think so. I think your hardcore followers would enjoy knowing that you're going to be wasting 3 hours of airtime today.
Hardcore followers.
Oh, yeah, you guys are on for 3 hours?
Yeah. You know why?
I got 5 minutes of material, too.
Then you haven't done anything different today.
Four and a half minutes more than I do. But yes, because of the beginning of college football season, we go until 1, and then the Dick Hicks NASCAR CD, and then some football game.
Can we choose a different CD, or do we have to run that one?
I think we have to play that one.
Really? We can't, like, roll Joshua Tree or something? Just kind of a look back?
Yeah, just, like, every two or three tracks, put a spot set.
Yeah. That'd be awesome.
It would be great.
All right. I'm crafting my tweet right now. What'd I say? I'm on the ticket.
Highly crafted.
From God, my big old sausage fingers can't type on this iPhone.
Yeah, I'm worried about that. I'm waiting for it.
You should just tweet, the rant is back. Tune in now.
Yep. That's all you got to say. Just say rant.
Yeah, but I don't know that people will even remember that. I mean, some people remember rant, but...
Oh, they will.
I'm on the ticket from 10... to, was it, 1 p.m.?
Yeah, yes. Or a.m., whichever
1 p.m.
So the T-Box is flying wildly in the face of that memo that we got this week.
Yeah, what are you guys doing?
I don't know.
You guys need to follow orders.
Yeah, I saw
that. They have some kind of weird swap meet airtime agreement, so I think they're above the law.
Well, you know, weekend programming was supposed to be airing shows and presentations within a 2% tolerance of when you were supposed to go to break. 25, 45, and what?
No, it's 04, 24, and 44.
So 2% is 30 seconds. So go with that today, guys.
Yeah, we're already 3 minutes late.
Well, no. Blame it on us.
Yeah, blame
you're
it on us.
You're a fod guy.
Yeah, we fod guy. Yeah. So we'll just see how you guys do.
Yeah.
Gordon is such a formatic genius.
Yeah, he is.
This will be...
Well, as soon as he finishes his tweet, we'll go to bake.
All right, I think I finished my tweet.
We'll go to what?
Bake.
Bake?
Bake.
That's your quote. It's if you look in Bartlett's quotation, Craig Rosengarten, that's one of your quotes.
Yeah.
It is?
Go to bake.
It was from your George Dijon fight, or George DiGiani.
DiGiani, yeah.
Has he switched back to his old
So now you're done.
I'm done. We're done.
Is this, is DiGiani his married name, or?
Die.
That's his grandparents.
So we've had like 2 weekends in a row that I think that he got hostile with a guest.
Oh, really? It happened again?
Yeah, like the next time he got hostile with the next guest. He books people that annoy the S out of him.
Is that his goal? Like, he thinks that they might be a good guest and then they fail? Or does he get them on because he wants to shoot holes in whatever crackpot theory they have?
No, he likes their information. He always praises their information, but he hates the way they present it.
Hey, here's my theory. If you're in the media, you always get these PR email blasts. You want to talk about some hot topic, and they have a guest for you that they like to book. Maybe he just hits reply and says, 7 a.m. on Saturday. And then just wings
it. What kind of laugh was that?
What's wrong with it?
Rosen has a good chuckle.
Yes, he does. He has a lot of mirth.
All right, you guys want to tease anything?
No, it's our show now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we're teasing that we're leaving.
The rant's back.
Yes.
Yes, for coming 3 hours only.
Coming up next, it's Gordon.
Oh, and Davey.
Yeah, it's Gordon.
Go to bank.
That's it. You know what? I'm done. God, I'm right.
Did you hear how you were born? Two boxcars crashed together and you popped out of the hobo's butt.
Shape of this child?
Uh-huh. Jesus made me, and Jesus saved me.
God, what happened to all my musical knowledge? I know it stopped.
It's all fixated on Jerry Reed now.
It stopped at 93, I know that. Yeah, it is. All right, now, here, you hear that? That's Smith's.
Yeah.
And then
that's solo. That's solo Morrison.
Oh, yeah, solo. Okay, so then... Then listen to this and how 70s this is.
I'm going to sing you a little song that I made up out of my own head.
He made it up out of his own head.
You ain't going to believe it. How's it going?
You got a lock on me.
You puppet dog.
So you think this is a little 70s sounding?
That's slap bass.
That's not slap bass. That's his guitar. He's playing a nylon string with a phaser on it.
But there's a bass going on.
Yeah, there's a bass. It's just not slap.
There's a little bit.
So call up the preacher man, pick out the ring. Baby, let's do
this. Why are we playing this?
You got a lock on me.
All right, stop it.
Let's walk down.
That's awesome. That riff is awesome.
Jerry Reed.
Jerry freaking Reed, man. I'm going to bring this guy back in popularity much as I can here.
I guess we can all count on Lock on Me with the Time Wasters at Ticket Stock.
Shoot, I don't know if I can play that. You ought to hear that guitar just kind of soloed. He's really good, Davey.
Dad?
Yes. He's really good, Dad. No, he's awesome. I wish I could play about a quarter well as Jerry Reed.
You just need to practice.
Yeah, now I got a new guitar this week, Davey. I'm real excited about this.
Did Dirk pay for it?
No, and you know what? I used to, like, really laugh off that Dirk guitar thing, and everybody would be real upset for me, it seemed like. And everybody would be like, you know, man, you really need to pin him down on this and get this back. And I was thinking, I just write it off because it's a funny story, right? And the guitar was kind of expensive, too. I mean, I think it may have been a four-figure guitar that he stole from me.
Right.
But I was just thinking, okay, well, I got a grand's worth of entertainment value out of this, right, telling the story over the years.
Uh-huh.
But then I'd say in the past, like, 2 months, I started getting privately pissed in the moments I have alone at my home. I just sit around and I start thinking, yeah, that fricker ought to give me my money on that thing.
Here's what you need to do, is you need to send him a card and congratulate him on his nuptials and say...
When was the last time you sent another man a card, Dave?
Never.
Okay.
But, I mean, this is a really nice passive-aggressive thing for you to do.
All right.
Send him a wedding card and then say, in lieu of a wedding gift, I don't want you to pay me for the guitar. Just to remind him that he owes you $1,000.
I don't know. I think you've got such a little subtle bank shot working there that he's not going to pick up on what I'm trying to motivate him to do.
That'll escape his German understanding of passive-aggressive American...
Yes.
Nuance.
Yeah, Germans don't appreciate subtlety. Look at the way they handle wars.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And build cars.
Yes, that reminds me. Yes, we are at Cars and Coffee at Classic BMW.
We'll be here till 1 today. People can stop by. It's the exit Spring Creek Parkway, I guess, off the tollway.
Yes.
Huge crowds
West
out here.
West Plano.
So, yeah, and I think the reason that I started getting ticked about the dirt thing is because when I started shopping for guitars, I was thinking, you know, that money sure would come in handy, you know, here when I'm buying another guitar.
Right. And ordinarily, I would ridicule you for complaining about money because you're six-figure Gordo.
I don't exactly know what that means, but...
Well, yeah, I mean, you've got morning show money. So ordinarily, I would...
AM, you got to take that into account.
Ordinarily, I would say that you need to shut your mouth and not complain about not
when someone
having
steals
money.
$1,000 from me, I shouldn't complain.
Right.
Because I'm doing okay in your mind.
Yes, but...
Huh, that's an odd...
But
here, so I shouldn't even report burglaries if they are tasteful burglaries.
Yes.
They don't clean me out entirely.
Right. If they're in and out and they don't break anything and they're respectful of your possessions that they don't steal.
Right.
No, but here's where I side with you that Dirk is way more rich than you.
Yes.
And he is the thief.
Yes.
So... You know, it's like...
This is rich on rich crime. This is very rare.
It's Germanic Teutonic.
Yes. That's crime. The thing. You know, rich on rich crime happens, but it's usually white collar.
Right.
This is straight out thievery. This is street level stuff.
Yeah, ordinarily white on white crime is maybe not carrying a zero in an accounting statement.
Right. But he hauled off and stole from me.
Yes, so I support you in feeling bitter towards Dirk because he certainly $1,000 to that guy is nothing.
Right.
Like he
and according to you, it's next to nothing for me. So which makes it more important.
Right. Yes, because while he could wipe his bottom with a $1,000 bill. And flush it down the toilet and not care.
Right.
You might blow your nose into a $1,000 bill, but then you would launder it and keep it.
Yeah, launder it, flatten it back out again.
Yeah, iron it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it's the principle of the thing, Davey, and I almost called you Dad again.
It's so
what's,
weird.
What's going on? So I also, not only did I get a new guitar this week, I traded in a whole bunch of other ones. I'm like, I don't know whether I'm on a death spiral or what, so I'm trying to clean up my possessions and narrow everything down. And
purging is wonderful.
I purged, yes.
That's a good feeling.
Like a bulimic girl, I purged.
And so did you have enough collateral to make a dent in your purchase? Or were they giving you like 10 cents on the dollar?
No, I traded in many more dollars worth than I actually got.
Oh,
then I actually had to pay
the
guitar.
Okay, yeah. So you had surplus coming back to you.
Yeah,
well, that's wonderful.
Sure. As a matter of fact, there is a Taylor guitar hanging in Guitar Center LBJ right now. My old Taylor 310 that I played at Ticket Stocks and Summer Bashes and stuff. It's hanging on the wall for sale. Some P1 wants to buy it.
So
one with the darkest top because it's the oldest one probably hanging back.
So
if
they go buy it, will you authenticate it and autograph it?
I will, yes. If some P1 buys that from Guitar Center, I will authenticate it and present them with a certificate
okay,
of
good.
Authenticity.
That'll double its value immediately.
Yeah. Then I'll take the guitar and smash it over the person's head.
Only if it's a girl.
Hmm.
All right, coming up next, I want to play a promo that has been airing on the Ticket. And I think it.
Can you talk?
No, I'm extremely tired. But I think it brings to light some.
What are you saying?
Maybe some Ticket political strife.
Okay.
Between shows.
All right. So we're gonna hear this next.
Yeah, I want to talk about it next with Gordon Keith on the Gordon Keith Show on the Ticket.
Not what's called.
It's 10:35 on Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket. For a brief promotional announcement, we send it to Dave Wilson.
Thank you. Kick off the first weekend of college football with Mike and Castor Roy from noon until 3 for the official ticket-watching party of Scruffy Duffy's in the shops at Legacy. Come watch all the big games on their movie theater screen or their 70-inch LED screens.
No, keep going.
At the end?
Oh, no. Throughout the entire restaurant. What could be better? Ticket Chicks, prizes, food and drink specials, monster TVs, and the ticket today at Scruffy Duffy's.
What a scruffyduffys.com
for more info.
What a natural read that was.
Thank you, Dave.
I'll do it
so
often.
That's Dave. He's the one-take wonder. That's what we call him up there because he nails copy first take.
Yeah, and he fights through, you know, when people are talking over him.
People making commentary during his
saying he
reading.
Sounds like Hank Hill saying theater.
Although he really stopped down there in the middle of it. Like in mid-sentence, he just stopped talking.
Yeah, but he didn't react. He just waited for clear air to continue the read.
I don't know. I thought it was a little unprofessional the way he stopped.
Well, he'll get another chance here in an hour.
Okay.
It's 10:36. It's not the orphanage. It's not the rant. It's something
it's
in between.
It's the orphanage.
It's myself, Dave Lane, and special guest, Gordon Keith.
Thank you.
Filling in for Danny Bayless, who is playing with his band, the King Bucks, at Dia de los Todis today.
Twitter is just on fire about this pairing that people are experiencing here on Saturday morning on the ticket. They love it when you and me get back together, the Wonder Twins, and reunite for really crappy radio.
Yeah, for a bigger time waste than even the orphanage.
It is amazing. But this is always neat when I come back and I join you, Dave, because you and I have been partners for a long time in this business.
Yeah, I don't think, like you said, a lot of people don't remember the rant. Or we have so many new listeners because the rant ended, what, 7 years ago?
Yeah.
6, 7 years ago? So there's plenty of people that have no recollection, don't know that we ever did work together.
And we worked together even before the rant, right? Didn't we work together on the...
The ticket stub?
No, the one after that.
Oh.
The Jennifer Smith show.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Weren't you our producer or board operator or something like that?
Yeah, one or the other.
And that's where I really got to be familiar with you, and I appreciated your work, and you and I had a similar sense of humor. And then when I went to the rant, it's like I wanted you to be involved, right? This is the way I remember it anyway.
Yeah, I think.
And so you were either my board operator or my producer, and Corby was the other one, which you weren't.
I started out as the board op, and Corby was the producer. And then when Corby went to the T-Box, didn't he go to the T-Box?
Yeah.
And then he came back? Isn't that what happened?
Yeah, but at one point, think about this, sweet radio fans. At one point, you had the Gordon Keith show on Saturday morning, which was Dave Lane, Gen X Davey, Corby, and me. Talk about a circle, Jay.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my goodness. Those were fun times. Those were fun times. Except the one horrible day, the one that really scars me. Still to this day, I have, like, horrible radio memories of the day that you and Corby disappeared into the studio while I was on the air carrying the entire show. One-man operation.
The trying to do the bit of
the St. Louis train conductor, the kiddie
railroad that went off the rails.
Yeah, so we did the story, like, first or second segment, I did the story about this, you know, one of those little kid trains that kind of circles a zoo, you know, those kind of things. Well, there was a conductor who was driving one of those kid trains, and it got out of control, and the throttle got stuck open, and it was going really fast, and then I think it derailed. Now, I don't know that any kids were really hurt. At least I hope not. I hope we weren't making light of such a tragedy.
We might have.
So we did this story, and our mindset was, hey, let's do like a real quick bit on it. You know, you guys said, hey, we're going to go into the studio real quick and do a recreation of the St. Louis children's train disaster. And for some reason, I thought, okay, good idea.
It sounds like a horrible idea.
Yeah, now it sounds horrible. Well, but back then, our radio sensibilities were different. So you guys go into the studio, and I'm thinking, okay, it'll take you, what, 5 minutes to bang out that bit? There's not a whole lot to it, you know, one or two punchlines and the absurdity of actually doing a bit on it. And then we've got we've suckled the comedic value out of it. You guys stayed in there for an hour and a half.
Was it that long?
Yes, it was the entire show, basically. And it was like the last segment when, okay, well, it's time to debut this bit, this St. Louis train disaster bit. And we played it. And I was thinking you guys were going to have gold. I thought, hey, there
it was maybe the worst thing ever aired.
It was horrible. There were no real jokes to it. it was filled with a bunch of confusing sound effects. And then when you couldn't find a sound effect of a lion or a penguin or whatever, then you would just try to do it off mic. Really unconvincing.
Stupid. It was horrible. I apologize.
I've never experienced radio betrayal like that.
I don't think I've ever properly apologized for that.
Well, and I appreciate
it. I just want to extend my deepest, deepest condolences. I shouldn't have abandoned you. I should have at least done better if I was going to bail out on 3/4 of the show.
Well, thank you, David. It does mean a lot to me that you're finally making good on this.
Yeah. I have a lot of amends to make in my life, and that was one of them, so I'm going to cross that off the list.
It was such crap. Now, I don't know that Corby's ever apologized to me.
No, and he probably never will.
God, it was horrible.
He was the conductor. He was the old man. Doing his old man voice.
He's doing it. Is it still all Corby sounding? Because Corby only has like three voices.
Uh-huh. The annoying high-pitched girl voice.
Yeah. They're funny voices.
Yeah.
They're funny because they're Corby. Love
right.
them.
On the flip side, speaking of successful bits.
Yeah.
You, of course, are well-known for the fake Jerry.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's the thing that's kept me employed,
yes.
I'd say, for 18 years.
And so Jimmy Johnson was the guest speaker at the SMU Athletic Forum luncheon this week, and he was on with Bad Radio. And at the very end of the interview, he shoehorns in a note about fake Jerry. I guess that Troy Aikman circulates the MP3s or whatever that he gets of the fake Jerry and shares them with everybody on Fox. And so I think it's in the promo. Dave, you have this?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
The Ticket. Cowboys! Go Cowboys!
Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket has been talking Cowboys, buddy, for 19 seasons. And it's time, sooner than you think. Cowboys Giants gets us going on a special midweek start this Wednesday night. Cowboys countdown to kickoff begins at 5:30, post-game afterwards. We saw some stuff and things during preseason. Wide receivers respond, defense dominated, Romo rolled. And now we see if this was all real or just a Jerry Jones preseason mirage.
The people at Fox, we absolutely love the fake Jerry. All the stuff that y'all do a great job on the programming, man.
Thanks very much.
Hey, thank you.
Good to see you again.
There goes.
Now,
wait a second. Something edited out of that?
I don't think so. I think that's how it came off live. And the thing I want to point out is how dismissive Dan is. Because Jimmy is trying to, you know, compliment the station, talk about, I love fake Jerry, and you guys do a great job programming. And he's just trying to shuffle him off. Like, oh, okay, thanks. Later.
I didn't get that feeling.
I think Dan was bitter that here Bad Radio is interviewing Jimmy, and all Jimmy can do is talk about a bit that the Musers do.
So you think Dan wanted then Jimmy to compliment them on Gay Not Gay or something
yes,
like that?
Yes, yes. That he wanted Jimmy to say, you know, I really love Homer Call.
Yeah, but Homer Call, I don't know. Yeah, I don't think so. Dave, I appreciate you looking out for the Musers here.
Can you just play
the Art of War?
Can you just play the very end, Dave Wilson?
I swear there's something that Jimmy said more to that. See, Tony's backing me up on this. Pop on, Tony.
Yes, I was up for that
show.
There's
Tony, our engineer. What else is missing out of that little clip of Jimmy Johnson?
Bob said, and Gordon's a genius. Or Gordon's a genius or something like that.
Yeah, see there, Dave?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but
edited that out because Jimmy Johnson gave him double thumbs up when Bob said that.
Okay, but I'm not saying that Bob is
dismissive,
your adversary, just Dan. Mm. I think Dan, because Dan is the sports humorist of Bad Radio, I just think that it kind of rankled him a little bit that all the funny good time credit was going to you.
The funny good time credit.
Uh huh. That's what I said. Can you play just the very end of it?
Fox, we absolutely love the fake Jerry. All the stuff that y'all do a great job on the programming, man.
Thanks very much.
Hey, thank you.
Good to see you again.
Good to see you again. There it goes.
Y'all do a great job on the program. Okay, now, see, Dan's not being dismissive. It's edited down. As Tony pointed out, they cut out some comments in there, so that's why it sounds like as soon as he started saying nice things and they tried to usher him off. They had to cut it down to fit in the promo.
Okay.
But I think the bigger question is, what is the fake jury? Because that's what Jimmy Johnson complimented them on.
We ain't big fans of the fake jury.
He said jury. He didn't say Jerry.
Like whenever we do the ticket mock trial?
Yeah, he loves our mock trials. That's kind of what we're known for at Fox. Hey, is that station in Dallas that loves debating and mock trials? They're so funny.
Is there a bigger beating in the world than mock trial?
You know, I don't remember ever doing a mock trial in speech class, I guess, is when you do it.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you do them in law school.
Well, yeah, but I mean, we didn't make it to law school. Look at that.
Just
look at her.
Keep your eyes in your head, please.
Hey,
I can't. Tell her to stop being so female.
Tell her to stop being so Asian.
Is that a problem with you? You don't like Asians?
Coming up next.
Oh my gosh, he doesn't like Asians.
Gordon talks about a man doing things in his car that he shouldn't do.
You want me to tell this story? All right. Against my better judgment, I will tell you a story of a man doing something to himself in a car.
Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. If you live in a glass house, please get dressed in the basement. Please.
It's small. Oh, well. Buy it.
Price below appraisal.
Uh-oh.
All right, if you're looking for a bargain in the M Streets.
Hey, don't. I may want to buy that.
Okay. Then
I don't know if I can get credit these days. I had a rough time of it.
Just put your...
I developed a nose habit that kind of put me into debt.
Put your guitar budget into your house budget. And
you know,
be fine.
I think the sweet Jesus that I never got into Cocaña.
You think it could have been something you saw yourself getting into?
Dude.
Feeling so alive.
I could get into anything. I think that I have the personality of an addict is what I think.
It's good that you admit these things to yourself.
And apparently to Dallas-Fort Worth. And I'm not exactly sure why I said that. You know, I think I'm on an oversharing kick. Because, you know, I did the... what's the podcast TC does? What's it called?
It's just banter.
Banter. It's just banter. I did that podcast with them last weekend, I think.
They put you on the hot seat and you...
Put me on the hot seat.
You divulged a bunch of personal information.
You know, it's one of those things where I got done with the podcast and I just felt horrible and nervous. I had the very familiar emotion that I'm sure we've all had when you wake up the morning after and you're just trying to scan the blanks in your memory banks, trying to figure out, okay, what all did I say last night? I just feel... You ever do that? Apparently this is just me.
Yeah, no, I never do anything like that.
You never have...
I'm just kidding. Of course.
Post-drinking regret that has to do with sharing.
Yeah, every once in a while, sure.
Well, I had that after the Just Banter podcast. I mean, I just felt like, you know what, I talked about emotional stuff or psychological stuff, you know, and I'm just like, man, no one wants to hear that crap. Do fake Jerry and be done with it, you know? It's like the great Jerry Reed once said. He goes, I don't do all that music. I just come out and sing Amos Moses, let someone else do the picking. I don't know how that relates. I just want to work in a Jerry Reed quote. So, yeah, so I'm oversharing these days, Dave. I think I'm getting ready to die.
You think so? You're opening the vaults and you want people to really know you before you're gone?
That's the thing. Do I really want people to know me if I sit here and I protect my privacy in my interior life to such a degree, it seems like I don't want people to know me. I don't want people to know me, but I want them to understand me. So is that kind of a contradiction?
Yes.
Sounds like it.
Yes. But you are a study of contradictions.
Screw it. Let's talk fun stuff.
Yes. Okay. It's 10:57 on Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket. You're listening to a special edition of The Orphanage with Gordon Keith filling in for Danny Bayless. Thank you for being here. And we are at Cars and Coffee. And the cars are pretty much gone. But
they sold all of them?
No, they haven't. Well, if you're interested in a BMW, classic BMW is certainly the place to go at Spring Creek just off the tollway. But the event, Cars and Coffee, is kind of broken up. It usually breaks up about this time. So please make a note to come out here the first Saturday of next month and join us then. But and oh, what was it? American Lung Cancer Society. The charity. This month?
American Cancer Society. I believe.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't think they have an American Lung Cancer Society.
I don't know.
Do they have a different society for every form of cancer, or is it all in the umbrella?
Just the big ones. Just
like
the
lung cancer, yeah. Or arm cancer, or
no, there's no arm cancer.
Bottom
cancer.
I can't believe you're laughing at arm cancer, Dave. That's
a
pretty serious thing to have.
I mean, wouldn't arm cancer just be like skin cancer, but on your arm?
Well, what if it's in the bone in your arm? Then it's not really
skin
cancer.
Then it's bone cancer.
But it's arm bone cancer.
So I'm going to start a charity for American arm bone cancer.
God, I guarantee you'd raise more question marks than dollars for your charity.
Think people would be afraid that money was going to be misappropriated?
American Arm Bone Cancer Society. And what makes it a society? I mean, they're doing good work. God bless them. But it's like not really a separate society.
Right, like they have their own set of rules and they have a little commune that they all live on.
I mean, maybe they need to drop that from the American Cancer Association. That would be better, right?
Right.
Should be associated, but maybe not be a society.
Well, maybe you don't want to be associated with cancer.
Is that Ed Wallace?
Indeed.
Where's Ed Wallace?
That's a good point.
All right.
No, that's a sister station, sir.
All right, it's 11 o'clock on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket, as I time-check the hell out of this.
Well, you are.
But I wanted to reset and get to the story that you wanted to relate to me.
No, I don't want to relate it to you.
Was this shared on the air?
This was shared on the air, and now I thought better of it.
Was it a Muse story or an Odek story? Which was it?
I don't know. All those things run together. Okay, so I'll tell you the story from memory, since I arrived at today's show with nothing in my hands other than a cup of coffee.
Uh-huh. Appreciate you preparing.
Well, I thought you were going to do all the heavy lifting, and so far it seems like I'm responsible for 80% of the words that have gone out over the air.
Yeah, exactly. That's mainly due
to your stutter, though,
I think. That's what the people want.
So let's wait till this family clears out. I think we may be losing the speakers on this story.
I don't think we have speakers.
Okay, we don't have speakers. Okay, good. So I did a story this week. I think it was just yesterday. It happened up in the Twin Cities.
Minneapolis, St. Pete.
I think it's St. Paul. St. Paul. St. Pete was the rock on which something else was built.
Mm-hmm.
So this guy in St. Paul, this woman notices this car stopped in front of her and he won't move, and she sees the guy in there.
Like at an intersection or something?
I guess.
Okay.
So she calls 911 and reports this guy. So the dispatcher tells the cops, hey, go to this and such location. There's a man sitting in a pickup truck there who is using a rigid female pleasure device.
A dilato.
He's using a dilato on his mouth. He stopped. Just rifling this thing in and out of his mouth.
Like sword swallowing.
Yeah. So let's say that the story just stops there.
Okay, yeah, that's pretty weird.
This short circuits my brain. I'm not exactly sure what kind of pleasure he's getting from this act.
Well, I have a few questions.
Okay.
And I don't know if this was detailed in the story, but was it...
By the way, this is probably not a child-friendly story. I mean, we'll talk around things as much as we can.
Sure.
But
if you're going to soccer practice, you might want to turn
it off. Yeah, if a parent hasn't been able to figure out if this is a child-friendly story yet, I'm just telling you outright.
Good.
It doesn't seem to be.
We got that out there. So you said it was a rigid device, so it wasn't like maybe rubbery or silicone floppy?
You know what? I don't know. I just know that it was an adult cylinder.
Like, was it made of, like, crystal? You know, like translucent, or was
the real
it,
kind of fancy ones?
Yeah, or was it phallic shaped, like it had?
Watch it.
Veins.
Hey, Dil.
I don't know, Dave. They didn't go into that much detail.
Okay, follow up question.
Okay, yeah. Does that matter to you?
Yes.
If it's ridged and veined, then you think that it's more of a gay act?
Yes.
I think that no matter... Y'all have a good day, man. Yeah. Nice family.
Baby nice Bjorn. Family. Thought that was pretty hilarious.
Yeah. We mentioned ridged and veined, and her eyes perked up. What were we talking about? Oh, so I think that it doesn't matter what the aesthetics were of the adult cylinder.
Oh, I think it does.
Really?
If it was just like, you know, like
if it has the
smooth and like
if, what if it has the half blue? Scrote attached to it?
Yeah, like a
the
like
bisected
in a,
scrote
and a suction cup on the back.
Balls.
Put it on the windshield.
No, what he needs to do is stick it to the driver's side window. That way he can just kind of turn his head and work it while keeping his eyes cut over to the road.
Yeah, that way he wouldn't have to stop at the intersection to finish.
Right.
Brilliant.
Whoa.
So I think.
Sorry, that kind of made me giggle. I apologize.
I think that does peg the game eater when it.
Do you have that on your dash?
I think you
have that installed on these.
I think you got
his instrument cluster.
I think it's aftermarket. You have to go to Pep Boys and yeah. mount it on top of the dash.
And you think he had the game meter pegged into the red on that one? You think it had to do with the speed with which he was working
okay.
down his esophagus? Or
yeah, that to me,
he kind of worked up enough speed to get the game meter tilted over into the red.
Well, that's my other question. So certainly the description of the device makes a difference.
Mm-hmm.
But also the manner in which he was working it. If he's just pistoning it back and forth,
yeah.
that's one thing. But if he's like lovingly working it, you know, getting his neck into it,
lolling it over the bridge of his nose, and
right.
sticking it in the eye a few times,
yeah,
and just kind of
across his forehead,
lovingly kissing behind the ridge, and
yeah, all those things.
Yeah. See, I know what you're saying, Dave. They do. But, see, I think they're all equally gay. I think all of those things, no matter if he's pistoning or lovingly trailing it across his forehead before he circles back down to the mouth, I think that they're all gay, all those things.
Oh, yeah, I'm not
There's
saying...
There's more to the story, however.
Okay, just to finish that, I'm not saying that any of it is not gay,
mm-hmm.
but, I mean, it's the difference between a closeted homosexual and a flaming homosexual.
Those terms make me uncomfortable because I think they both aptly describe me.
Flamboyance amps up the gay meter.
Okay, so they call the cops. The cops go out and they find the guy sitting in the pickup truck. Now, this guy, I've seen the picture of him. He's kind of a big, burly guy with kind of a Billy Ray Cyrus mullet happening.
Okay.
And so they stop him, and they search him, and they find that he has tucked the adult cylinder in his shirt, right? He's really hiding this thing.
Okay.
They find that there. They also notice that female underwear, also called panties,
mm-hmm.
are draped off the rearview mirror and on the gear shift, and there's also some strewn about the cab of the truck.
Okay, so he's bicurious.
That's what's confusing me here. So he's got some female stuff happening around there. So that's getting him going.
Right.
But yet he's doing the thing with the deal.
Right. Is he just at some random intersection, or is he near a school, or near a gym or something?
The woman who called in said that there were kids around. Now, I don't know what that means. I don't know whether he was near a school or whether they were just kids playing in their own front yard or whatever.
Okay.
But she said there were kids around. Okay, now, just given this information that I've given you, all right? That,
yeah.
How many times can I say given in one sentence? Given this information that I've given you, what would you give me as kind of the given in this situation? Would it be that he is... hetero, or is he homogenized? Is it because he's got the female panties?
Yeah.
Did I say the term female panties?
I think he's extremely confused.
So you think that the seesaw is perfectly balanced right now? At this point in the story,
it's tilted. It's tilted towards the SG side.
Right. Yes. If you looked at the instrument cluster, the panties don't. Take that mirror out of the red.
No.
Okay.
No.
All right. Well, there's more to the story.
Okay.
So the cops pat him down, right? They find the one rigid female pleasure device in the shirt.
Right. Step out of the gay cab of your truck, sir.
Yeah, I don't know that they said that. Why would the cops say that?
Oh.
And they start to pat him down.
Okay.
And when they get to the waistband of his pants, they notice that there is something vibrating down in...
He's getting a phone call.
Down into the bathroom areas.
He's got his phone in his pocket, and he's getting
That's
a
one
text.
Explanation. That's one explanation. But it was more of an enduring vibrating that
okay.
was going on. It was consistent and constant.
Uh-huh.
And they
was
didn't
it,
have
it,
to...
Was it pulsing?
They didn't have to worry... Yeah. He put on the setting of 5, which kind of is a randomizer
uh-huh.
of the...
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Whoa.
Throw it, my butt. Hey, okay. Take it easy back there on the drops. We're dancing around the line as best we can.
So
they hear a consistent vibration going on.
Uh-huh.
And they didn't have to wonder long as to what this was.
He confessed?
They didn't have to ask
if
it was his gay cell phone. He tells them that he has another device that is obscured from the world, that is in the most devilish of places. And he's driving around his F-250 dually.
It wasn't a dually. You don't know that.
With this thing.
But he was dually.
He was dualying it, yeah.
Yeah.
So now, where do you think that the instrument cluster will tell him that he ranks
I think,
the continuum of human sexuality?
I think the gay meter, like a spring, just came out and the...
It's just spinning wildly?
Yeah, the needle's just spinning around.
He's working it from both ends of his gastrointestinal tract.
Yes. One goes in, one goes out. One goes in, one goes out.
Oh, you think he was timing it?
Hey, maybe.
So it was working like contrasting pistons. You
uh-huh.
know?
Now, so to me the follow up question I have based on the exit placement
mm-hmm.
is this like did he just pull up to the stop and kind of work it in there? Or did he?
You think
like,
he was trying to obscure some contraband, perhaps, when he noticed that the cops were arriving? Or are you talking?
No,
about
no. I mean, I think he intentionally put it there. But I'm saying, did he put it there while he was in his car, or was he
I
getting?
Think he, my opinion, he left the house that way.
Right. He's in his bedroom or his bathroom.
Yeah.
Getting dressed.
I think that's just part of his morning chores.
Right. Puts it in. Puts it on the proper setting, then pulls up his drawers and his jeans and buckles them
yeah,
out the door.
And skips out to his gay truck.
Oh, man.
So, get this. The cops then say that they take him into custody for, you know, some sort of public lewdness or I don't know what the exact charge is. I think it's just...
Excessive gayness?
I don't know that that's a crime, Dave.
Should be.
Whoa.
I think that's on Romney's platform.
Oh, it might be. So they take him into custody and they put him in the back of the squad car, and the cops in their report said that as they're driving him in the silence of the squad car, they can just hear the vibration off the vinyl seats back there.
My God. Now I'll ask the Junior Miller question.
Yeah.
Do you think when his parents brought home that 7-pound, 8-ounce bundle of joy home from the hospital. Did they ever think he'd be taken off to the police station?
Hands cuffed behind his back, vibrating a
yeah,
seat.
Vibrating the bench seat in the back of a cruiser.
Now, why did God give us sexuality again? We cannot handle it. It screws up lives.
And how else are we going to propagate the species?
My opinion, the gremlin method. You pour a little bit of water on you, and then another fur ball pops off of you, and it grows into a person.
Then you couldn't go swimming, though.
Well, chlorine negates it.
Okay.
It has to be...
You have it all figured out.
Yeah. It has to be special water.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, you know, that's one of my long-standing convictions, is that that I think the privates is what screws up the world. The privates is the primary design flaw in the universe.
So when you walk through the pearly gates, that's going to be...
Well, I have a vibrating... I'm hoping that escapes detection when I walk
right
through the pearly gates.
Try and smuggle it in. That when you first have your audience with God, you're going to say that... Hey,
I'm going to try to make sure there's no real downtime of the conversation where it's not too silent.
Right, right.
Where you can hear this going on.
Oh.
God, I have a bunch of questions for you. I was just curious as to if you could tell me what Rod Carew's batting average was in 78.
No, I think you should stick to your convictions, and when you have your audience with God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, you need to call them out on
ask
the,
them why they
on the design flaw. You just say, you know, I appreciate all of the beauty of your creation, but I think your main design flaw was sexuality in humans.
Animals, yes, I'll bring up this story.
Animals can handle it, but humans can't.
I don't know that animals handle it, but I don't think God cares about them as much.
That's true.
Okay, the final little, just to put a button on this story, the once they get to the sheriff's office or the jail, somehow this thing is removed from his hell tunnel.
Somebody has to do it, or do they make
well,
him do it?
I don't know whether they just made him pass it or whether someone went in there and rooted, but somehow this thing is exited
mm-hmm.
from its comfy lair, and I think they made him push it into a Ziploc. So it's in the Ziploc, and no one wants to touch the thing to turn it off.
So it's just rattling on
yes,
the table?
So they let it skitter across the sergeant's desk. And they put it in the evidence room, and they just said that they were just going to let the batteries run out because no one wanted to turn it off.
So the whole file cabinet's kind of vibrating?
Yes. Vibrating.
Oh,
trying
man.
To desperately shake off the man's smear.
Oh, God. Can you imagine God. Just the... Oh, I'm not even going to go there.
No. I think we have tastefully handled this story today, Dave. It's,
yeah.
it's an important story that's touching a lot of Americans today.
I think you're wrong.
Okay, here's the tasteful way to say it. Can you imagine the Santorum that was smeared
okay.
all over the inside
right,
of that
that's enough.
Ziploc?
That's enough. What does that have to do with a presidential candidate? I don't read Dan Savage. I don't know what you're talking about.
You're Dan Savage is your ghostwriter handle.
Whatever. That was a good debate we just had there at the very end.
Uh-huh. All right. We're balls late.
Are we?
But I think it was worth it.
Hmm.
I think Gordon will take the heat for this one because he's a ticket all-star. And
we've already heard
he's
from
bulletproof.
Twitter that this was the best segment ever.
Okay.
Hashtag gay meter.
All right. Coming up next, the worst segment ever. It's 11:24 on Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket. This is the Rant Reunion with Gordon Keith and myself, Dave Lane. He's at Gordon Keith on the Twitter. I'm at Old Waver.
Yeah, Twitter's blowing up. They don't. I don't know that they're exactly fans of our broadcasting today. Although some people say that we won a Marconi
just now.
Yeah, with our gaydometer segment. I don't know.
I'm glad that my poor formatics and stammering haven't detracted from our Marconi status.
Well, see, I would say that this isn't really a rant union because it's different, because now I'm riding shotgun.
You can drive all you want.
No. This is your show, my friend. This is you. You're responsible for this one.
Mm-hmm. And we need to mention also that we're at Classic BMW. Cars and Coffee has ended for the day, but Classic BMW is open.
They get deals all day long.
Yeah, it's open to, 6 this evening, 8, something like that.
I guess a Beamer dealership doesn't really go with stacking them deep, selling them cheap. That's not really their...
No, it's more about quality.
Yeah.
Prestige.
Mm-hmm.
And we encourage you to come out here and see Eric Moss and the fine folks at Classic BMW just off the tollway at Spring Creek in, I guess this is West Plano, right?
I'm not really sure. You know, that's pretty sad. You would think at the age of 58 I would know.
You would have geographically a handle on the area. Did you watch the big finale of the Republican convention?
I did watch the finale.
I missed the Clint Eastwood thing, but...
Well, that's what I saw. Now, I only saw clips of the Romney, but I watched the whole Eastwood.
Romney looked like he was about to cry the whole time.
Something about him seems weak to me. He just kind of... The way he looks back and forth, like he just wants you to like him so much, and he just seems a little... I don't know.
Yeah. I don't see it as weak. I think, but I do think he's trying really hard to be liked.
That's what I mean. Yeah. Weak in that sense, you know. I'm not saying he's like weak on national defense or anything like
right,
that. I can't
right.
speak to that level.
He's got to overcome the Mormon hurdle.
But there's such a thing as a Mormon hurdle?
Uh-huh.
What does that look like? Like a pommel horse?
It's like four wives stacked up on top of each other.
And you got to clear that in order to be a Mormon president?
Uh-huh.
That's one of the challenges in the secret Mormon ceremonies.
Mm-hmm.
How great would that be? Four wives condoed on top of each other.
But I'd missed the Clint Eastwood thing. I guess it was it wasn't that much of a secret that he was going to be the special guest speaker.
Wait, dude, you didn't watch that? Like,
no.
Go back and watch it or anything?
No,
everyone talked about it?
I need to. I've been so busy.
Doing what? Gaining weight?
Yes, gaining weight, and I moved this week.
Oh.
So I haven't had time to go back and watch, but I guess he was addressing Ghost Obama in an empty chair on stage.
It was so unstable.
Is he senile? Is he crazy?
Well, the thing is I think that as a dramatic device, it could have worked if it was just executed a little bit better. You know, I'm not opposed to Ghost Obama. But the way he did it was just, he was all over the map, Dave, and he had no clear plan.
Do you think he had a written speech, or was he just off the cuff?
There's no way any of that was written. Or if it was written in his shaky old man hand, and he couldn't read any of it, so he just abandoned it. It was really tough to watch. I mean, the thing is it wouldn't have been as bad to me if he was like first day of the convention. You know, throwing it up there is kind of an opening band deal. You're not expecting a whole
right.
bunch. But, I mean, this was the secret guest. This was the big guns they're pulling out.
82 years old.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he's having like a one-sided dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's interacting.
With Ghost Obama.
Yeah.
Yep.
So no one can hear Ghost Obama, but he's...
No, they didn't have a mic on Ghost Obama.
He's going back and forth arguing with Ghost Obama.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's so insane.
It's like the moment reminded me of the time when you know it's time to leave your granddad's nursing home room. He's talking to the chair now. We're just going to kind of slip out.
You maybe call the nurse.
Mm-hmm.
Get him distracted and then just kind of back out?
Yeah, back out, call the nurse, say, hey, he's ready for his lunch now, and leave. Can you feed him? I ain't holding the fork.
It would have been, I mean, if Romney was talking to Ghost Obama, that would have been a story.
But at least he's still ambulatory. How long did your grandparents live? Are they still alive? Are all of them still kicking?
No, they're all dead.
Oh.
Thank you.
Maybe I need to send a card for the first time in my life to another man.
I appreciate it. No,
did you ever feed them in a nursing home or
no, well,
that stuff?
My dad's mom was in a nursing home. They moved her down here locally, and I remember going, you know, half a dozen times to see her, and I hated it. It was so depressing.
Yeah.
Because she was at a like an assisted living, like she had an apartment at like an assisted living place.
Pretty kick-ass place, granite.
Yeah, I mean, nickel finishes,
mm-hmm.
Crown molding, all that.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So she was kind of kicking.
But a couple times they found her, like, you know.
Face down on a granite stove. I mean, like a brushed nickel stove top.
No. A couple times they
sniffing the gas, trying to get as much gas into her lungs as she could.
A couple times people picked her up on the street, like a couple blocks away, like she had just wandered off.
So she had the Alzheimer's or dementia kind of thing.
Yeah. So eventually they had to move her into like a full service nursing home, and so I couldn't handle going there.
So you just stopped going?
Well, I mean, I would go out of obligation, but it was just so depressing.
Like, the girl just gave us a kiss, Dave.
A Hershey kiss. Thank you.
You don't have to say that part of it. Come on, I'm dressing it up for radio.
Okay. But, yeah, so I didn't go very often.
Okay, did she still know who you were?
No, had no idea.
Okay, well, I think you're kind of excused from going to see her then. But I would say that if she still knew who you were and she took some measure of joy from your visits, I think it's your duty to go see your grandparent in the nursing home, no matter how depressing it is to you or whatever. This is still their life, and yes, they regain their infancy, basically, when they get older, and you do have to feed them and things like that, but that's part of it.
What does this have to do with Clint Eastwood?
Well, he's going to be in a home here pretty soon. He's already talking to empty chairs.
Yeah. I guess I do need to go back and watch that. I'm sure it's on YouTube.
Yeah, you need to see it just for its historic value. I mean, it's going to be something that will be referenced, you know, every convention here on out.
Now, how are the Democrats going to counter?
I like to call them the Democrats.
Oh, good
Dave.
One.
Dave, that's something that I like to say.
But
and I like to call...
Surely they're going to have to trot out a special guest. They're going to have some kind of dog and pony show to match the
My
talk value.
Take on it is that they ought to hire a Clint Eastwood lookalike and have the empty chair address Clint Eastwood standing next to him as kind of a counterpunch.
Like kind of a...
like the chair's behind the podium speaking.
Right. And is the chair like kind of a, like a Jim Henson Muppet chair?
But kind of has a mouth on it?
Yeah, like maybe the top rail of the back of it has a little mouth that comes down and talks.
Mm-hmm. And it's real sassy.
Uh-huh.
Kind of give it a... Maybe some sort of a southern black dialect. I don't know if that would be the best choice.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I'm against that, them doing
I
that.
Appreciate
Why
it.
Are they doing that?
They should workshop
that seems
it.
Seems stupid.
Yeah.
Anyway, black southern dialect chair is going to be speaking at the Democratic National Convention.
Somebody please set up black southern dialect chair on Twitter.
Oh, believe me, there'll be one here within 10 minutes. And we'll end up having more followers than Old Waver.
That's to me, that's the best use of Twitter, is the instant fake account.
Yeah, Invisible Obama.
Yeah.
Like 30,000 followers shortly after Clint Eastwood.
Michelle Obama shopping for a BMW.
She looks nothing like Michelle Obama.
They look the same.
Whoa.
Democrats? 11:33 on the ticket.
You know, that KT was my hand-picked successor.
For your position?
I named him as my hand-picked successor. In a moment of absolute caprice, I named him my hand-picked successor. And now he's come to be known as that.
Idiot!
That's really all I'm known for.
Does that hold weight with management?
No.
Is that binding?
You think they'll respect my wishes whatsoever? There's no way that that's binding.
It's 11:42 on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. This is The Orphanage with special guest host Gordon Keith. He's filling in for Danny Bayless, who is off playing with the King Bucks at Dia de los Todes today. And we are
Where'd you say, San Marcos? Is that where you're playing?
I think so. I don't know for sure.
Huh.
I think it's year 7 of Dia de los Todes. You know, the Todes band puts it on, a little festival, end of the summer every year.
You know, I lived in San Marcos.
Did you?
Yeah. About a year and a half.
When you were a young child?
I was a little youngster, as a matter of fact, yes.
Did your dad have a church down there?
Mm-hmm. First Baptist Church, San Marcos.
All right.
They actually converted that church into apartments. It's the strangest thing. The sanctuary was designated a historical landmark. And so, like, inside the sanctuary now, they have the leasing offices and, like, the gym and stuff like that. And then they built apartments around it. But they couldn't tear down the sanctuary because... It got a historical designation.
Huh. So it's possible that people have banged in the gym, which used to be the sanctuary of the church.
Yeah, don't mention that part of it. I was a little kid going to church there, and I have, you know, my earliest memory of my life is in San Marcos. My earliest memory was catching fireflies in a mason jar on my driveway on Alamo Street there in San Marcos. And I still remember that so vividly. It's very strange how powerful that memory is to me. And I just thought it was so magical because it was kind of in the gloaming, you know. You had the sun was going down, and so, but there was still a little bit of light. And I remember just looking off that driveway out onto the expanse of the yard that fell off into the woods and seeing those fireflies as they light up and kind of hover and arc and all that. And I just thought that was the most magical thing I've ever seen, that soft glow of their tail or whatever
right.
it is, the way it could just float through the air. And I thought, how can a creature shine like that? You know, how can, with no electricity,
right?
How can it do that?
Yeah, I have a firefly memory of being at like a great aunt's house or something, living out in the country in New York or Vermont or somewhere up north, and doing the same thing, mm-hmm. being on the back porch and looking back into a wooded area and seeing the fireflies and going and asking for a jar and catching some.
Still magical. Love it. Love fireflies.
And then
the place
smashing
I'm in now,
them and smearing it on your face.
Yeah, like war paint, then uh-huh. arguing who gets the conch.
What?
William Golding reference, isn't it?
No, it's over my head.
Golding? Goldman? Who wrote Lord of the Flies?
Oh, I have no idea. Didn't read it. Or at least if I was supposed to, I read the Cliff Notes.
Hmm. But, yeah... Yeah, and the place I lived in before, the halfway house before this one, they had fireflies, and it was great. It was like ground cover out in my backyard, and so we had fireflies, and I used to go out there and watch them, waiting for the whiskey to take effect. And then
they turn into tracers.
Yeah, and then it was a real trip. And then now my place now, no fireflies. And I hate that, because fireflies warm that little boy part of me. Thank you.
I want to warm that little boy part of you.
That is so Sandusky of you. I cannot believe you just said that. All right, let's get to content. Are we on the air now?
Yeah, we are on the air now.
Okay.
And we need to get on time. So let's think about, let's really give some good quality thought to the content that the listener wants to hear next. Because we have another full hour. We go an extra hour today.
I think I'm going to beg out of here. Is it noon?
Okay, go ahead.
I think people want to hear you by yourself.
Yeah, that would really peg the gay meter if it was me by myself for an hour.
Huh.
But yeah, we have if Gordon decides to stay, we have a whole another hour from Classic BMW, and then the Dick Hicks NASCAR CD and college football to follow at 1 and 2 o'clock respectively.
All right, coming up next, I want to talk about giving your life for an entirely worthless cause.
Okay. And I think we have two examples of that. One that is awful and one that is tragic. And that's next on The Ticket.
Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket. Wondering if a crowded elevator smells different to a midget.
It's 11:54 on Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket. It's the Orphanage, also known as the Rant Reunion today, with Gordon Keith live from Classic BMW, Spring Creek, and the Tollway in Plano. Please come out and see us. Cars and Coffee is over for the day, but we're going to be here for another hour. And we do have a promo crew, I guess, with stuff to give away. I don't know. You have some stuff? A little more stuff. All right, Gordon.
Mm-hmm.
You wanted to talk about wasting a life.
Yeah, there was a very disturbing story that came to us from Houston, I believe.
Yes.
Who was playing?
It was a preseason game.
Between
the Texans and the Vikings.
Okay. And this guy, this 25-year-old dude, Jonathan Kelly, was his name.
That's still his name.
Well, he doesn't exist anymore, does he?
In our hearts.
So, I don't know whether this is after the game or in the middle of the game or whatever, but you know at these stadiums how they have these impossibly long escalators.
Right.
It looks like, you know, the escalator into heaven. And at some point, this guy decides that he's going to ride the handrail on this escalator, and he was coming from the fifth floor down to the ground floor, 25 years of age, and he falls.
So just jackassery.
Yeah, plummets 60 feet and dies. 25 years of age. This depresses me to no end. It's so sad because I think they say that the alcohol may have played a factor in this. I guess it doesn't say in this story, but it seemed like I heard that in some other story. Who knows? I wouldn't be surprised if alcohol played a part in this because alcohol plays a part in football games.
Right.
It's what you do when you go to the stadium. And so this guy just decides one second he's just going to do this. Hey, you know.
Hey, like, check me out.
Yeah, what are the famous, what's like over 50% of last words in Texas? Hey, watch this. Or the South. You
right,
know,
right.
Like an old joke. And then he falls 60 feet, dead, 25 years of age. He's behind parents, siblings.
Surely he's there at the game with somebody, a friend or family, and they're riding down the escalator together, goofing off, talking. Next thing you know, he's 60 feet down, dead.
Mm-hmm. And ultimately he'll be 66 feet down.
Well, from where he fell.
Yes.
Yes.
And I think back to my own life, and I think I have escaped death at least 213 times.
Like,
same kind of crap.
Literal close calls, or you think back how risky that behavior was?
Both. Both. I've had some that, heck, I have close calls with death, I would say, at least monthly. There'll be one time, and I've shared this on the air before, that I think that I'm going to suffer a fall. Because I'll be walking across the bathroom floor, like after a shower, or maybe in the shower, and I slip and catch myself real quick. You know, I don't actually fall down.
Right.
But, I mean, my heel gains traction right at the last microsecond, and I'm upright, and I'm able to go in and produce award-winning radio again.
Maybe you need to replace the marble floors in your palatial estate with something that's a little less slippery.
Put carpet down?
No, just a tile that's maybe a little less slick.
Isn't all tile slick?
Yeah, not if it has a little bit of texture to it.
Oh.
But that marble that you have is like glass.
I don't know that you've ever been to my home, so how do you know if I have marble?
I'm just assuming.
Yes, it's marble. But you don't know it. You don't know that it's marble.
Uh-huh.
But inside the shower, is that marble too? What's inside the shower? I can't picture it in my mind. Hey, some of you ladies who've been in my shower, call me up and let me know. If that's tile or is that marble?
Yeah, I don't think they were looking at the floor. They had their face pressed up against the wall.
Well, that's where the tile is.
Their eye is
a centimeter from the marble.
So the marble is
tile, whatever.
The marble is floor to ceiling then.
I think. Isn't that strange that I can't picture the interior of my shower right now? I just think that's a little odd.
It is odd. Is it a steam shower?
No.
Does it have a remote control with
pulsating stuff?
Pulsating blasters aimed right at your crotch.
You know, that's an unfair thing, don't you think, that women have so much methodology at their disposal, I guess, to achieve human enjoyment. And guys, it's kind of limited.
If they want to just sink down in the bathtub and aim the spout in a special area, they're fine.
Yeah. They can be sent to heaven easily that way.
But we actually have to physically work on ourselves.
Yeah, there's all kinds of, we got to go out there like we're working a dairy cow.
It is.
But women, water and devices. And if a man uses a device, then that's weird.
Right.
Women,
that's
devices.
That's sick. That is disgusting.
Water, pillows, some just crossing of the legs they can
right.
do it, you know.
Washing machines.
Mm-hmm.
Let's think of all the ways.
Well, now I'm sidetracked. Weren't we talking about a person dying?
Uh-huh.
Now how are we on to this?
Now
you're wanting to enumerate the ways.
It started because you were talking about how you've almost fallen to your death in your palatial shower.
Yes. So I'll be in the shower, you know, working one in my mouth.
suction cup to the yeah. the seamless glass.
Yes, and then you know I lose my balance. And one time I lost my balance.
You bite down and hang on.
Yes.
Break your fall.
Hang on. Yeah, like a pit bull hanging there, hanging on a chew toy. No, but one time I slipped and fell. It was the strangest thing. You're going to think I'm lying. Slipped and fell onto the shampoo bottle and had to go to the ER and tell them, hey, this is just a horrible shower accident, how this shampoo bottle got there.
Isn't that what happened to, what's his name, Art Modell?
No, he was like trying to hurdle a coffee table and he scratched his scrotum.
I thought he tore his scrotum. Okay, that's right. He tore his scrotum. I thought he fell.
Why are you laughing at that? That seems like a pretty serious injury for an older gentleman.
Yeah, that's true. Probably because they were swinging so low. But I thought he fell on a shampoo bottle.
No, Art Modell didn't fall on a shampoo bottle.
But you did.
Yes, I did. Because I wasn't able to pit bull the the suction cup device.
Uh-huh.
That was hanging off my frosted glass. I was flopping around. And I'd kind of grab the base of it every once in a while and kind of helicopter it around my face.
Yeah.
No, you know, that is like, obviously I'm joking about the shampoo bottle incident. But that is.
It was conditioner.
No, there was no bottle. I never fell on a bottle in the shower.
And had to go to the ER to get it removed.
Had to go to the ER. Say, hey, can you remove this container of body on tap out of me? I don't even know if they make that shampoo anymore. Anybody remember Body on Tap? It was beer and rich. That was the big selling point.
I picture it being one of those giant bottles of Mane and Tail.
I swear to God, I've probably had a salon.
Like an artillery shell.
I have had like a salon's worth of Trace Amay products removed from me.
Just go to Sally and restock out of your rectum. Sally Beauty Supply.
It's like any time if I'm in the shower and I upturn a shampoo bottle and it just drizzles, you know, there's not much in it anymore, I just reach down below me and pull it out like a paper towel, just the next bottle. They just load it in there like a mechanical pencil, you know, that has little inserts. You just pull the next insert
always
out.
At the ready.
Always.
So God bless
the
guy who died in Houston.
Yes.
Jonathan Kelly.
Horrible.
Fell 60 feet onto a shampoo bottle.
What are you doing?
Oh, man. I'm sorry. All right. Coming up next, we have some classic audio to play that's perhaps crazier than what we just talked about.
Why do you have tears streaming down your face?
Because I'm tickled. I'm enjoying
on a death story.
Yes. If you can't laugh.
There's no way that you would fall. I think you could even place half a dozen shampoo bottles down there.
At Reliant Stadium?
On the concourse, yes. And if somebody's falling from 60 feet, pantsless, doing a full herky, or maybe a double toe touch, there's no way that they would be able to nail it. No way. The sad thing is, I would say I'd give you 20 tries, but you only really have one try.
Right. You got to nail it the first time. Well, I mean, it's unfortunate. I mean, he doesn't get a second chance to do
it. No. Unlike Art Modell, who survived something similar. I guess it was similar.
Hurdling a chair? Is that what you said?
A coffee table.
Oh, coffee table.
Hurdling a coffee table is kind of similar to falling six stories. Onto a shampoo
bottle. Is Art Modell Mormon? Was he practicing?
For what?
For the four-wife hurdle.
The Mormon hurdle to become president?
Yeah.
Which is stacking four wives up, and if you can clear it, you can be president?
Mm-hmm.
No. Let's do classic audio next. I'm very excited to hear this audio, because I don't know that I've really listened to it since it happened.
Yeah, this is probably at least 10 years old.
All right.
This is from our friends at the Unticket, and good, strong Rant P1 Mexican Jr. brought it to our attention. So coming up next, we're going to listen to the genesis of an extremely obscure and completely random rant character. next on the ticket.
7:30.
Calhoun played 8 last night.
Did they?
Yeah.
I could have gone to that. But you never invite me.
I'll text you next time. It's 12:13 on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. It's The Orphanage with special guest host Gordon Keith.
Hello, America.
One more hour from Classic BMW. Classic BMW is just off the tollway at Spring Creek Parkway.
Yes.
And we just got through talking about Gordon's escapades with shampoo bottles.
Okay, don't. See, this is what I regret this. I come on your show to help you out.
And I appreciate it.
And I make a nice comedy omelet for you. And now you're going to try to pin that story on me as if it actually occurred. I never slipped on the tile and landed rectum first on a shampoo bottle, much less 6 shampoo bottles that I then used as my own body as a dispenser for the next few months every time I needed more shampoo.
So
that didn't happen.
That was made up.
I want to officially say that that was made up.
Okay. All right. Let's. You ready to listen to some classic audio?
Yeah. This is a moment that is brought up from time to time by the P1s who remember this when it occurred. And it was when you were doing the rant with me.
Yes. As we detailed earlier, the, I guess, early days of the rant, probably circa 98.
Yes.
It was Corby and you.
Yes, I'm kind of known as the guy who invented Saturday morning programming.
Yes, this is your legacy radio. Time spot.
Yeah. And there was no such thing as Saturday morning radio before I started doing it.
No.
I was like, why are the stations all going dark after sundown on Friday? And so I got a show, and you helped me out on this. Well, you and I, it was about 10 years ago, we were out at another dealership, a different dealership. One that I was the spokesman for at the time, I believe.
Yeah, I believe I was back at the station and you were out by yourself.
I thought you were with me.
I'm pretty sure I was sitting in the producer's chair back at the station.
I wouldn't let you come out to road shows?
No, they wouldn't pay me to come out.
I was kind of a jerk back then, I apologize.
Yeah, it's okay.
Not that I'm not a jerk now. I think I am not a jerk now.
You're less of a jerk now.
Maybe this is just, you know, everyone. No one wants to think they're a jerk. But, yeah, I think that I was much more of a jerk then. Anyway, I was 20-something. That's what people are when they're 20.
Headstrong.
Right? They're all aggressive and stuff.
Self-absorbed.
So we were at this dealership, and they were doing some charity thing for an organization, which I'm sure is a very fine organization, called Irving Cares.
Yeah, the dealership does not exist, but Irving Cares still does.
Oh, I think the dealership's still there, isn't it?
Well, it's something else now. I think it's Q Chevrolet now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. So we're out at the dealership, and they have some charity tie-in with Irving Cares. Well, you and I both love, and you can still hear this on the morning show, which I do 5:30 to 10 with George and Craig. We love instant characters.
Right.
For whatever reason, I've always been a fan of shoehorning in an instant, ill-conceived character into a live spot.
The most recent example I can think of is Neil Young Moose.
Yes, Neil Young Moose, which appears in my Cinnamon Creek Ranch ads for archery. There's a character called Neil Young Moose.
George does.
Yeah. Well, you started one when I was mentioning this charity called Irving Cares. You came on as Irving Cares.
Yeah, because it sounded like a guy's name.
And if I remember correctly, as I mentioned, I haven't really reviewed this in the past 20 years since it happened. Your voice slayed me. I thought it was the funniest sounding fake voice, and so let's take a listen to
Audio. I think this is on theunticket.com if you want to listen. If
you
want to listen to the whole thing, just search for Irving Cares.
I predict they'll put this entire show up on unticket.com.
They might be a mistake. But we'll listen to this whole clip. Is like a mashup of a bunch of different Irving Cares appearances throughout the years. And the whole thing is like 9 minutes long, but we're just going to play the first couple appearances. And so this is entirely organic, just like you said, on the fly, made up character. So this is the genesis of the obscure rant character Irving Cares.
Delicious.
Oh, come on. Are you serious?
What are you doing, Dave? Why didn't you download it when you had the chance instead of relying on streaming, you idiot?
Are you...
God, you're an idiot.
No, well, now I'm going to have to join a new network because stupid killer had to take our wireless router.
You mean I just sat through and struggled and belabored a 7-minute setup?
Yes.
To a piece of mediocre audio that you can't even get to work.
Hey, I can play it from here if you want me to.
Yeah, please do, because I'm about to punch this computer, yes.
From the very beginning?
Yeah, from the very beginning.
Hey.
What's up?
I guess this is a live spot, right?
Yeah.
All right, well, we're going to talk about what's going on today. From 1 to 3, I'm going to be at Frank Parr Autoplex. And they have a big deal going on at Frank Parr Autoplex today. They have the Camaro Legends Tour today at Frank Parr. It's a two-day-only tour.
Now, see, he's playing it from the beginning, but then we talked for like a minute before we mentioned Irving Kerns.
They have classic Camaros out there, as well as entertaining exhibits and fun Sega Daytona 2 interactive race games. Now, if you participate in the Sega interactive game, you can receive $500 worth of a discount towards any Camaro purchase. Admission is absolutely free.
See, why didn't you skip all this?
And Frank Parr Autoplex, by the way, has over 150 Camaros in stock. They have the best inventory of Camaros in North Texas. And there's a charity tie-in, Davey.
Oh, really?
Irving Cares.
What the hell was that?
Who joins me right now. Hi, Irving.
Hello.
Irving Cares will be on site today during the Camaro event, collecting food and cash donations.
Yes, I will. I have a big burlap sack, and you can put all your donations in it. Especially the cans.
Irving Cares is a nonprofit organization benefiting needy families in Irving. Oh, it's not a guy.
No, I don't profit at all.
So come out to Frank Parr Autoplex. I'll be there from 1 to 3 today. Are we going to have any K-Ticket CDs?
Only at Christmas.
What?
Yes.
What? Okay, so we'll be out there 1 to 3, and we'll have some ticket T-shirts and good stuff. Come out, Frank Parr Autoplex, for the Camaro Legends Tour today, 1 to 3, 1 mile west of Texas Stadium on Highway 183 in Irving.
All right. Bye, Camaros.
Right. My name's not Camaro.
All right, can you pause it here for a second? Okay, so that was the first time that Irving Cares appeared.
Right.
Apparently, I thought you came up with it, but I just threw it to you as,
right.
And you had to do instant voice, and that's what you came up with. Which is hilarious. Your instant voice was hilarious. So that was the first appearance of Irving Cares. And then, this is the same show that we're about to
hear. Yeah, I think later in the show.
Later in the show, you come back, and you make one of the most off-the-wall statements that completely threw a stick in our spokes.
Yeah, it took Irving Cares in a totally different direction.
A very new, bold direction for Irving Cares. Take a listen.
KTCK Dallas Fort Worth, KTBK Sherman Denison. The Ticket.
10:48 on Sports Radio 1310. The Ticket. Why are we playing this theme song here?
Make love, Juby.
What?
Make love to Irving Cares.
What? What? That's the craziest thing I've ever heard. Hey, Irving, you still there, buddy?
Yep.
What are you up to today?
Collecting cans.
You are?
Frank Pirates.
You,
Come out and see Gordon and make love to me.
What are you talking about, Irving? Why are you telling people to do that to you?
Show how much you love Irving.
Oh, gosh.
Moving on.
Okay. Yeah, we'll move on here, Irving, if you don't mind.
No problem.
Okay. That's Irving Cares, a nonprofit organization helping Irving families that will be at Frank Parr later today. Okay, we have a whole stack of stories that we got to get to before the end of the show here.
Okay, so that was the second of those.
That was the second. I think there's one more that wrapped up this particular show.
On the Ticket.
KT.
Frank Parr Autoplex. And I'm going to be fortunate enough to be there from 1 till 3 today. I'll be at Frank Parr Autoplex experiencing the Camaro Legends Tour. Now, this is the last day of the Camaro Legends Tour. It features classic Camaros as well as entertaining exhibits and fun Sega Daytona 2 interactive race games. great thing for the kids. If you're a dad to some children and you have the kids today, bring them out to Frank Parr Autoplex, because for your participation in the Sega Interactive game, you can receive a $500 discount good towards any Camaro purchase, and admission is absolutely free. Frank Parr Autoplex has the largest and most incredible inventory of Camaros in North Texas. Over 150 Camaros in stock, and the good news is that Frank Parr is doing something for charity in the Irving area. Irving Cares will be on site today during the Camaro event. Hey, Irving.
How you doing?
You will be collecting food and cash donations, won't you, Irving?
I certainly will, and you can throw me on the hood of a Camaro and make love to me.
What? No.
Hit me over the head with a can of soup and make love to me.
What? Okay, no, please ignore that, P1, because Irving Cares is not a guy that talks like Yoda. Irving Cares is a nonprofit organization benefiting needy families in Irving. So if you do have some canned goods or you have some extra cash you'd like to donate to Irving Cares, come on out there. Frank Parr Autoplex. I'll be there from 1 till 3 today. And Irving Cares, the fake guy, will not be there.
We'll be there.
No. No. You're not going to be there, fake Irving Cares. The real Irving Cares is going to be there.
Make love to him, then.
No, he's not a guy. He's not a guy. Stop saying that stuff. Frank Parr Autoplex, 1 mile west of Texas Stadium on Highway 183 in Irving. And you know, no, don't sing yet. I'm telling about the great deals at Frank Parr Autoplex. I've been driving them for 2 years now, and
we're over a minute.
What's that?
Longer than a minute.
Yeah, I know. I'm giving Frank Parr a little extra here, because I feel so bad about the appearance that you had on the live spot.
Sorry.
That's okay. Frank Parr Chevrolet, located 1 mile west of Texas Stadium on Highway 183 in Irving between Carl Road and O'Connor. I'll see you today from 1 to 3.
Okay.
No, not you. Parra people and Parra prices made the
difference. And he got to sing again, so that was nice.
So that was Irving Cares.
Now, why do we replay that? Now that I hear it again,
I don't know.
It made you and me laugh, but I think that for the P1s out there who are expecting really tight content.
No, yeah, that was a little meandering.
Not that this show has been excessively tight.
Mm-mm.
I mean, it's not so tight that we couldn't fit a champ bottle up in it.
Well, we killed the segment successfully, so thank you to Irving Cares.
You want to take calls next?
Yeah, we can take calls.
It'd be better than that hints from whatever.
You don't want to do hints from Halloween.
Well, here's the deal on that. When you guys started that, I've only heard you guys do that segment once.
Okay.
And I think it may have been like the first time you did it or the second time. It was very early on. And I remember thinking, why are they doing this?
That's exactly why.
Like it has zero comedic value. When I listened to it that one time. Now, you may have refined it since then, and it may be awesome now.
No, it's not awesome. But I think, I don't know. It's a successful time waste.
Yeah, but you could just read the phone book then. I mean, there's...
No, I don't know.
What's good about it?
I think that some of the situations that Heloise and her readers present are comical in and of themselves.
Okay, but when I heard it, it was, you know... Hey, Heloise, you know, your readers may want to know that soap makes an excellent detergent. And then you then read the next one. So I guess I'm just trying to understand.
It's read and react. Read a letter to Heloise and riff on it, try and make jokes about it, and then move on to the next one.
Okay. Maybe I just heard a bad one.
You probably did. They're mostly bad. But we can take calls. I think the P1 wants to talk to you. I think if we took an instant Twitter poll, they would much rather hear you talk to them than me talk to you and read hints to you.
Okay. I think your instincts are correct on
yes.
that one.
Okay. So coming up next.
Anything better than you just reading out of the newspaper.
Yes. Less me and more Gordon coming up next at 888-787-1310. It's 12:35 on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. This is The Orphanage with special guest Gordon Keith for another 25 minutes or so from Classic BMW. Classic BMW at Spring Creek in the Tollway.
I'm hitting the wall, David.
Yeah, I think we both are, but it's okay because we're going to lean on the P1s to help us through this next-to-last segment. We're going to go to Race Week at the top of the hour.
This happens to me when I laugh hard at something. I always feel spent afterwards, as if I have just enjoyed making love to Irving Cares.
Yes.
Whereas in reality, all I did was laugh at him. But I feel all, like, noodly armed and relaxed.
There is the instant Irving Cares Twitter account now.
Yeah. And all he tweeted was hashtag make love to me. He's Irving Cares 1.
Yeah, he says, hey guys, hashtag make love to me.
Unbelievable. That poor charity.
They should embrace it.
They should embrace a character who implores you to clock him over the head with a can of soup and make love to him on the hood of a Camaro.
Well, maybe not.
That's not really the biggest charity tie-in I can think of.
No,
those actions seem to have nothing to do with helping families.
But maybe just the slogan, like "Make love to Irving Cares."
That's a weird way. You're saying, like, metaphorically, they're trying to use it metaphorically.
Yeah,
it's just strange. That's never going to make it on their T-shirts.
All right, well, maybe they can have somebody kind of tweak it a
massage
little bit.
Massage it a little bit? Well, you're an advertising guy.
Yeah, but I'm too close to this.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I think that maybe they ought to incorporate the can of soup hit in the head, like a cartoon drawing of and just suggest the making love part.
Well, I have good news for Drew Michalak on Twitter. This segment is less about me and more about Gordon.
Okay, Dave, there were 700 tweets about this show, and you seized on the one that said something negative about you.
Uh-huh, because I'm sensitive.
You're giving no weight to those other 699.
Mm-hmm.
What is with this negativity bias?
I don't know.
And you've complained about yourself during break.
Because I'm sweating like a pig.
And you talk about how bad you smell and how much you're sweating. And then I asked you, do you disgust yourself? And you said yes, without a doubt.
This isn't about me.
I've never met anyone who hates himself more, yet gets offended when other people hate you with the same ferocity.
Well, I should thank him for agreeing with me.
Yes, but instead you're upset that he agrees with you.
Yeah. I don't want to believe it. I don't want to believe how disgusting I am.
What is the most disgusting thing about you?
Gosh.
Hard to narrow down on short notice?
I mean, maybe the reverse happy trail on the small of my back.
It grows up? Like it widens
out? Well, I mean, like the happy trail is on, you know, your stomach.
Yeah.
But that's like...
You have a rear happy trail.
Yeah. A gay happy trail.
So it's a bunch of fur that leads down into the abyss.
Uh-huh.
Ugh. What about your hemorrhoids? You had those taken care of, right?
Yeah, they came back. I mean, they're gone now, but they made a return appearance.
Really?
Yeah, at some point.
They came back for revenge?
Uh-huh, they did.
They were pissed that you had them removed?
Uh-huh. I don't know if it was the same ones or maybe different ones taking vengeance for their fallen brethren.
So did you have... What is that surgery like?
Local and scalpel.
So you have to go to the doctor's office, and are there two doctors, one of them that pins your legs back behind your ears, and the other one who starts working on your...
like a Thanksgiving turkey?
Yeah, like is that a carving station?
Uh-huh.
Murphy.
Just trying to cut out the hemorrhoids before you're screaming and twitching gets to such a degree that his... dexterity is compromised?
No, it's just it's the doctor and then a nurse doing like a vice grip.
No, she goat sees you? Was a nurse really there?
Yeah.
You don't want her seeing that. Why didn't you request an all-male staff for this?
Might have been seen as gay.
Do they knock you out? I mean, do they put a fighter pilot's mask on you and make you go to
No,
to
they
sleep?
Just clock you over the head with a can of soup.
Gosh, I can't believe it's localized. How are you not completely mortified that these people are seeing your grape cluster of veins down there?
It was one of the most humiliating experiences of my life, and I'm glad I'm sharing it on the air again. Let's go to the phones.
Okay.
888-787-1310.
Fine. Maybe we'll hear from Davies Hemroy.
Hi, you're on the ticket with Gordon.
Hi. Who is this?
Yeah, am I on the air?
Yeah, you're on the air. What's your name?
Genghis.
Genghis?
Yeah, it's Mongolian.
Well, I know it's a Mongolian name, but I just didn't know if anyone was actually named that anymore. What's your last name?
I cannot give them the air. I have kind of
That's
a
fine. You know what's weird? I've only known there's been what? There's three Khans, right? Genghis Khan, Madeline Khan, and Shaka Khan, right?
Well,
those are the only three?
Kublai Khan.
There you go. I guess
so
it's more common,
I
think.
For you guys.
All right, hypothetical. Shoot.
So you can make sweet, passionate love to any woman of your choosing at any time. You just snap a finger, give the name, and it's at your feet. But you
but
have
then you
a,
ruin then you ruin the so, the joy of the chase.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you do. But there is a slight element of chance here. You have a Russian roulette probability of contracting the Magic Johnson AIDS.
Well, that's real life. You're just describing real life, basically, without the
finger snap.
Yeah.
Well, but then, so it's
your phone's so bad. Cut him off. His phone sounds horrible. I think you were on to a little bit better hypothetical when it was the finger snap any woman you want, but you immediately, after you complete the act, have to play Russian roulette in front of her.
How long could that possibly go on before you would end up losing?
But see, that's the interesting thing. You have to make that calculation for every single girl. You have to say, gosh, is she worth it? Because I've got a 1 in 6 chance here that this is going to be the end once I spin this cylinder.
No way.
And you have to do it in front of her,
no
too.
No way. That's horrible.
So do you explain to her why you're having to play Russian roulette afterwards, or do you make up... Is that part of the fun, is making up some real wheels-off story about how you're consumed with guilt and you put the gun to your head? And then it clicks and you just laugh maniacally.
Be gone!
Be gone?
Yeah. Hmm. After you fall into a heap, you know, like deer
hunter. No one... Is that what he screamed at deer hunter?
No, I'm just saying, but, you know, after you know,
no one screams be gone before they put a gun to their head.
No, after. I'm saying, you know, because you're so emotionally spent after... The Russian roulette thing.
And the lovemaking.
And the lovemaking. Then, yeah, then you cast her away.
But boy, what if it is the actual one that you got one there and you blow your head off, you crumple into a heap, she looks down at your naked body and sees just the peeking out of a shampoo bottle just down there? I didn't even know that was there. All right, let's go to who do we have up next here? What's the name? Do we have the name?
I don't know. He said he wants to talk about the couch lady, though.
The couch lady. Oh, okay. Another classic rant conversation. What's your name, sir?
Well, I am the couch lady, and I'm a little upset because when Junior Miller was given his alien report, you threw a deer carcass on him while I was on the air.
I threw it on Corby.
Well, there was a deer carcass that interrupted my good story, and... I want to
dump that. Cut him off and dump it. Did you get it?
Yeah, we got it.
All right. He said an untoward word.
Yes. This is going great so far.
Yeah. Whose idea was it to go to calls?
You.
See? Never trust me when it comes to radio instincts. I don't have them.
Should have gone with hints.
All right. Who we have up next? Let's go to Johnny on a cell phone in Hearst. Hi, you're on the ticket.
Confused about
you're
calling
on the ticket.
Him a fake name.
Talk, dumbass, talk. You're on the ticket. Hello, you're on the ticket. Didn't you get these names?
Yes.
Well, what were the names?
He did not.
That wasn't our producer dogging, was it?
That's the caller.
Dave, let me ask you this.
Uh-huh.
When someone says screen calls, doesn't that mean that you get their, at the very minimum, you get their name
myself.
And their city?
Right. Gordon, I'm doing tickers, too, so I'm also kind of just helping out here.
Ooh.
Oh, boy, your hand-picked successor.
Yeah, biting the hand that precedes him.
That's adolescent God right there.
So, yeah, but I like, even if you didn't screen for content, just at least get the names and where they are. Otherwise, we're going to have all this confusion on the air.
Yeah, but also I had to figure out if Jason Witten was practicing today at the same time.
I mean, he's got problems, Gordon. You got to understand.
Which world problems are these? First, second, third,
Ticker
fourth?
World problems.
Mm. All right, well, you should have just said, hey, listen, I really can't do this.
Yeah,
I got to cover the other thing.
Yeah, you should have said, we don't have a producer, you're going to have to roll screenless. Don't bite off more than you can chew. I appreciate, you know, that
we do appreciate your work.
That you are trying, but
and we appreciate your on-air defensiveness. I think that people enjoyed that. All right, hi, you're on Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket in a new segment we like to call Ask Davey Lane.
No.
Hi, you're on the air.
There's Carl.
Is it a good thing when you crowdsource your comedy, Dave? Okay, now you got crud coming out of your nose.
I know. Just don't focus on my flaws, please.
Are you? It's like I'm watching somebody that's melting in front of me.
Uh-huh.
You got stuff coming out of your nose.
Mm-hmm.
You have tears that stream down your face.
Mm-hmm.
Your pit stains are huge. They're like dinner plate size stains of sweat.
Yes.
That are appearing up under your armpits.
Mm-hmm.
And you're disgusted with yourself, and your own self-loathing, I think, is also creating some sort of radiant.
It's my force field, yes.
Yeah.
I don't have any tissues, Gordon. What do you want me to do?
Use the back of your hand like you just did then.
I use my knuckle hair.
Wow. You are disgusting.
Told you.
All right, what time is it?
No wonder no one loves me.
Mm.
It's 12:48 on Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket. We'll do something next and then race week.
Worst tease ever.
Radio 1310 The Ticket reminds you, don't pick up a woman at the laundromat. If she can't afford a washer, she probably can't support you.
It's 12:55 on Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket. This is The Orphanage with Dave. And today, Gordon filling in for Danny.
Yeah.
And we are wrapping things up from Classic BMW. Coming up next, you can listen to Race Week. I appreciate you, Gordon. Thank you so much for not only filling in for Danny, but doing an extra hour.
Yeah, you know what? As always, Dave, you're an old friend of mine, and I'm happy to be with you, sitting alongside you again. Can I plug some stuff?
I would prefer it if you did.
Okay. I'd like to, first of all, plug the morning show, Musers, 5:30 to 10 a.m. Monday through Friday.
Is there anyone that didn't know that already?
I don't know. That's just always plug number one. Also,
okay.
I'd like to plug on Tuesday night on Channel 8 at 6:30, Dale and I are doing a Cowboys preseason special or Cowboys season special, something like that.
What's your role in this? I heard something about this, but I didn't know any details.
We're doing some shtick. I think you may hear from fake Jerry, maybe even fake Garrett.
Is it a canned thing or is it a live deal?
You'll have to tune in to find out,
okay,
Dave. And maybe a little man on the street stuff, something like that. But that's at 6:30. Hopefully we'll have some fun there with Dale.
What day?
On Channel 8. Tuesday night.
Tuesday night. Okay.
Tuesday night at 6:30.
Because Wednesday's big kickoff.
That's right. We're getting you ready for the
season opener.
Also, I'd like to plug my new band, McMurtry Theft. This is a new band that I'm involved in. So far, we only have one member, and it's me. So I need to field a drummer and a bassist for sure, and maybe
you can pull it off as a three-piece?
I don't think I could interest too many more humans in being in the band. I think I'm kind of limited.
Now, do they have – certainly they have to be competent players, but do they have to actually – like or ever even heard of James McMurtry? Do they want to be in a band with you?
I think that helps. I mean, if they're competent, you know, I guess I don't really care whether they like the music or not. I think he's genius, and I'm wanting to, you know, get some use out of my new acoustic.
Okay.
That I've recently acquired.
So
McMurtry Theft. Also, my Cars cover band, which I also don't have any members yet.
Okay.
But I want to plug some upcoming shows we have.
Scruffy Duffies.
That are to be determined. That band's called Auto Theft. That's my Cars cover band.
Okay.
So
I see a theme.
So there are my the things I got to plug. Special on Channel 8.
Tuesday night.
And two cover bands that have nothing on the books.
That don't even exist other than in your mind.
That's correct.
You've had zero rehearsals and zero members other than
yourself.
Zero
members, right. Yes. I'm
glad you took the time to plug that.
Yeah. Anything you want to plug? Oh, also, I may be going up to have lunch with the Sorois.
Oh, yeah, we need to mention that. They're just up the road at Legacy. Is it the Mucky Duck that's up at Legacy or
Scruffy Duffy's. They're up at Scruffy Duffy's, and I guess they're just doing an appearance.
Yeah, it's some kind of game-watching thing or college football-related stuff. But, yeah, they unfortunately, Cirque du Soleil was preempted today by Race Week and us. And then what's our college football game at 2 today?
You asking me?
No, I'm asking back at the station what we're airing today.
It is Miami and Boston College.
Miami and Boston College. Okay, so, yeah, so unfortunately no Cirque du Soleil today, but if you would like to meet the Soroy brothers in person, they are at Scruffy Duffy's in the Shops of Legacy just off the tollway.
And you may meet me there, too, because I think I may be heading up there to get a free meal.
You're such a whore.
Yes, but I also like free meals. The sales guy, Brian, promised me that he'd buy me lunch.
Oh, okay. All right. I thought you were just going to show up and, you know, play the Gordo card.
Just do it. Do an instant appearance at a
right.
place.
Right. Just when they present your bill, you just
scratch out the total.
Yeah, you scratch out the total and just sign Gordon Keith.
Yeah.
The ticket.
I would never do that, Dave.
All right. Well, I appreciate you so much for doing this show. Thanks for bringing all of your weekday listeners to the weekends. If you enjoyed any of this show, please know that The Orphanage is 10 to noon every Saturday with me and Danny Bayless of The Hardline. And it's not it's obviously not as good as when Gordon's on, but it's at least a good time waste on a Saturday. So I hope
what a ringing endorsement.
I hope that a little cross promotion from the legions of Gordon Keith disciples will maybe help our ratings and keep us from getting canceled.
I don't really have legions. Just don't have legions.
But you do have shampoo bottles.
I have about six of them.
I need some.
Ready to be dispensed right now. Let me pull up the scrote and pull you one out.
All right. Coming up next, please stay tuned or not for Race Week.